Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Commute reports from everyone? Mine wasn't bad. Mine wasn't bad.
Yeah, nothing bad. Unexpected. Side streets, rather packed in. You had to take it slow, of course. Not bad, but not all that great either. And we've seen a number of accidents already on the expressways this morning.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I saw. Yeah. I was driving slowly and sensibly with my hands at 10 and 2, as I should. Filled up my windshield washer reservoir.
There you go.
Before I left, because I hear all the radio talk show hosts and TV reporters who are standing on viaducts for some reason. Telling us to do such, so I'm very obedient. But
did you use caution while you were driving at 10 and 2?
I did. Okay. I was using caution.
Okay.
I was. But some people were not.
No.
Nope.
Some people are driving like crazy out there.
Yeah, the guy tailgating me on Irving Park. Hope you made it to the stop light just as soon as I did. You won the race to the stoplight.
Right. You saved a full 7 seconds.
Ooh, baby.
Yeah, it's amazing to me how some people... What are you gaining? What's the big...
Especially in conditions like this. Yeah. You know, it's bad enough if people are darting in and out and tailgating you and zipping in between cars. But when you have weather like this... That makes it even more hazardous.
Bridges and overpasses, you know, things like that. Extra super slippery today.
Yep.
I know it sounds cliche, you know, to repeat all this, storm after storm, year after year, decade after decade. I can practically hear people calling into Wally Phillips' show, telling them where it's slippery
outside. Hey, it's snowing like crazy out here.
It's great. It's slippery. I can practically hear that, but people forget. So,
and this is only the second real significant snowstorm that we've had this year.
And we've got another one expected tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning, yes. Morning commute is going to be a challenge out there.
Great. Yep. Great. once again, the Dean and Schwanee Snow Removal Service is open and available. We're happy to come and shovel your snow. A lot of stations just, you know, provide you information like slow down on the roads. Turn your lights on and when it's like weather like this.
Allow yourself extra time.
Yeah. Schwanee and I actually will come to your house and shovel your snow.
At your service day and night, we do our job and do it right. That always gets you.
I love that. I love it. Anytime you can quote a Three Stooges like that.
I'm going to work it in.
And so enthusiastically. I enjoy it. We're going to talk with senior weather producer Bill Schneider in a little while. He's Tom Skilling's producer. You hear Tom Skilling talk about Bill Schneider all the time because he's so knowledgeable. We're going to check in with him just to see where we are with the storms. Things should be, it is coming down with less, volume, I guess, right now than it was a couple of hours ago.
But it picks up. It picks up and lets up and picks up and lets up. And as we said, a winter storm warning for Lake County, Indiana. Yeah. That stretch of roadway along the Indiana Toll Road, when you have conditions like this, it is not fun at all.
Yeah, that's
anybody who's driven through there would know.
Northwest Indiana, it's going to continue till about, 3 o'clock this afternoon?
Yes, well, the winter storm warning now until 5.
Oh, till 5
till o'clock. 5 o'clock, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, we'll keep an eye on all that for you. We're going to talk with Bill Schneider to give us the update on all of that still to come. We've got an abbreviated show today. We're off at 11:45. Dave Ennett, I believe, has some basketball action today. Is it the Cats and Purdue?
Cats at Purdue.
Yeah, okay. So we'll look forward to that coming up about 11:45 or so this morning. We've got Dr. Kevin Most that's going to be coming up on the program for us today. We're going to talk a little theater. Got all the usual Sunday things, and oh, do I have a fun new game to play today that we started over at the TV station the other day. Mike Toomey, actually, who is, you know, you see him on the WGN Morning News, came over to me and said, do you know that tomorrow is National DJ Day? National DJ Day. And I said, I did not know that. But he's telling me, because of everybody on the TV morning show, I'm the only one that actually used to be a DJ of my assorted career of many stations here in Chicago. So he said, do you think you can still talk up the vocal, as we call it? Talking up the vocal, or talking up the post, is when you hear the DJ annoyingly talking over the instrumental part of the song until the singer starts singing. It's a, like, it's a big DJ thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
We've all been DJs.
It's a post.
It's a big deal. You know, that's a skill to be able to do that.
We used to have contests in college with it.
What do you mean you used to have
contests? Well, just see who could hit the mark the best. You know, right up to the vocal.
What do you mean? You just like sat it. in your room and played records and did that?
We had a Carrier Current radio station in the dorm where I lived.
Okay.
And got away with murder. And
well, if that's the most decadent thing you did. Hey, guys, let's sit around and talk up. Let's talk the vocals.
We had a guy that's all he was into.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. The guy that was there at the station, that's all he was into. And so we would have fun doing
dorks. It. Such complete idiot dorks. But I totally understand that. But I said, you know, I haven't done it in years. I've been here on WGN since 93, I think, 93, 94, something like that. I haven't done that at least since then. And the 3 years prior to that were my three hell-filled years at WNUA, where we were playing smooth jazz, and we didn't...
You didn't talk at all over the music.
Well, we didn't do that at all.
Or hardly at all.
Because everything was instrumental over there.
Just about.
I'd still be talking over a Kenny G record if we did it over there.
No, they played vocal singers like Basia.
Yeah, that's true. But we weren't allowed to talk over
that
was not allowed.
Nope.
So it's been quite a few years since I did it. I said, I'll give it a try. Give it a try. And guess what? I still have
you
my
can
job.
Do it. Yeah,
I still have my DJ chops.
I picked my songs already.
Listen to this. This is what I did when Mike Toomey gave me the challenge the other day.
All right, I can't wait to hear that story about perspiration that's coming up in just a few minutes. We've got lake snow expected today and 18 degrees expected. First, let's check out Sting and the Police and their hit, Every Breath You Take.
Wow!
Nice work.
Excellent.
How about that?
Nice job.
First time in like 28 years, and I hit it.
You did.
It's like riding a bike.
It truly is like riding a bike. So I said when I came in today to Schwani, hey, I've got a fun game we can play today. It's a DJ dork thing we like to do, talking up the vocals.
Now, did you pick the song there, or did someone pick it for you?
Mike Toomey gave me a choice. I said, I want it to be in my era, you know, like songs that I'm familiar with. Don't give me, you know, something I've never heard before, because I'll have no idea how long I need to talk. But so, you know, I said, just keep it in my era, which, you know, that was my era when The Police, Every Breath You Take came out. I did a George Benson song also. But I said,
which one?
Give Me the Night.
Give Me the Night. Yeah.
Want to hear it?
Yo, you have it handy?
This is like sitting around the dorm room, isn't it?
Like riding a bike.
Yeah. One might say, okay, he got lucky there. So,
one would say that, by the way. One would say that.
So, we have to do two, all right?
All right, yep.
One more, let's see how you do on this one.
All right, here we go, one more time. Go. All right, we've got the list coming up in just a minute. Anna is taking list duties today. We've got interesting authors. And later, we're going to find out what the girls on Daytime Chicago are drinking. First, it's George Benson with Gimme the Night.
That was even better.
I like that one better.
That was a little tighter.
That
was a little bit tighter.
That was tighter. Yeah. We actually had our contests on the air, though. On the radio, we didn't have any listeners, so it didn't matter.
There you go.
So we
kind of like this show. It's like this show.
You know what's impressive about it though is you're not pressing the button or you're not hitting play. So you're almost, you know, you kind of have to like wait till you hear it and
yeah,
you know, when you were doing it on TV.
I had no clock.
Right.
For every time when you do it as a DJ, when you start the song, it resets the clock in front of you. So you can see that 7 seconds have gone by, 10 seconds, 12 seconds, whatever. You actually have the timing. So
Did you have a clock at WFYR or CFL?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
You did have a clock. Oh, yeah. Okay.
At WCFL, we had a sundial. It was a little more challenging. The equipment was a little more antiquated there. But I said, how fun would it be if we tried it with Andy and Schwani?
Let's do it.
Because they were both DJs also. And you guys picked songs, right?
Yes.
Andy, why don't you go first? Well, no, Schwani, you go first.
Oh, we're going to do this now?
If you want.
Okay.
Do you need to practice?
No, I don't care. We can do it. We can do it now. I just was watching the clock. That's all.
For the far-flung forecast.
That and my news at 9:30, yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, if you have things to do.
I do have a newsroom to run, but in this case... No.
I'll cut you some slack today because we do have a snowstorm going on.
Yes, right. So,
all right,
If you're going to do it, we'll do it.
I would not want to get in the way of journalistic progress. Let's do Andy right now.
Okay.
All right.
We'll do yours later on.
All right.
Give me 1 second to get ready here.
Now, what songs did you
pick? I'm anxious to see what you picked.
I picked a couple. I picked one from my era as a DJ and then one from my youth.
One from your... Which do you prefer?
Either one is fine. Just let me know which one's going to go.
All right, ready?
Which one are you going to do so you can... which one are you going to...
Life is a Highway?
Yeah, do that one.
Life is a Highway. All right, here he is, Andy, in the post.
Yeah, a little snowy out there today. 24 degrees right now in the city of Chicago. Don't forget to leave yourself a little extra time and don't drive like a moron on that highway today. You know why? Life is a highway. And here's Tom Cochran on the Big 720.
Not bad.
I like it.
I left that one a little short.
Not bad.
It's like a 9-iron from the fairway. Left a little short.
You dragged out the call letters a little bit, but I knew what you were doing.
If it was me, I would have said, here on the Big 720, WGN.
Should have thrown that in.
You can hear Bob Surratt in the morning. I would have
thrown it in.
Should have thrown a couple of more things. Those are your standard DJ tricks that you do. All right. 20, do you want to do one?
We can do one right now, yeah.
Let's
okay.
Now.
I gave Ryan two songs, and you can pull whichever one is handiest there, Ryan.
But just tell them first, though.
Let's do Midnight Confessions.
Okay.
All right.
Of course.
Great bass.
Of course, a song from the
1969.
Of course, their songs that have 50 years plus.
One of the great years for music, I'm telling you.
All right, here's Mozart.
Crank up that phonograph if we can still play this.
All right, ready?
Yep, let's go. Hey, we've got some snow out there today, and it's going to be all over the place until about 5 o'clock this afternoon, especially in northwest Indiana, so be careful out there. Dave Schwann, keeping you company on WGN.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. Nice, nice, nice.
They all start with, hey.
That's required DJ talk, Ryan.
It is.
Every sentence that you say on the radio when you're a DJ playing music like that has to start with, hey! Very nice. All right. I don't know if anybody else is entertained by this, but I am tremendously entertained by this. We'll do some more of these a little bit later on. Now, do you have the energy after something like that for a far-flung forecast?
I certainly do. Yeah. I'm ready to do another song, actually.
All right, we'll get to that. So stick around. We've got a little more show still coming up today. Not good show, but we still have a... we do have a show.
Hit the post of this. Go ahead.
9:25, and that means it's time for your far-flung forecast. And that is our weekly compendium of interesting facts and figures presented to you each week by Dave Shotgun Schwani.
Hey, everybody. How you doing out there? Hope you're staying warm with all the snow out there. And boy, it's going to get cold later this week. But our far-flung forecast takes us out west, way out west, to Sutter Creek, California.
Sutter Creek, California.
Also known formerly as Suttersville and Sutter's Creek, population 2,501.
Now, whereabouts would this be?
This would be in Central California, right near Sacramento, the state capital, actually.
Okay. All right.
The town takes its name
from... Wait a minute, isn't Sacramento in... Northern California?
Well, north central.
Okay.
It's east, northeast of San Francisco.
Okay.
So it's in that part of the state.
Gotcha.
And is named for John Sutter.
Of the wine fame?
No, not of the wine, Sutter, not of the wine fame.
Sutter Hill.
He actually was a Swiss immigrant that started a ranch there and some various businesses in the area. However, John Sutter made a bit of a discovery on tomorrow's date in 1848. He found gold in them thar hills.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
And he tried to keep it a secret, but that didn't happen, of course.
No, you can never do
Thus,
that.
The California Gold Rush would have its roots January 24th, 1848. Unfortunately, he didn't make any money at it. Everybody kind of took advantage of what was going on there. They overran his property, took his cattle, and wiped out his fields. And
hey, just goes
and
to show
moved
you,
out.
People were jerks even back then.
Oh, nothing has changed.
You just thought it was today where people go, where you're going, boy, people are jerks today, not like the old days. Look at this. In the old days, they stole the guy's cattle.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did, and ruined his crops.
And ruined his crops.
But it's Sutter Creek, Sutter's Creek, or Suttersville, whatever you want to call it. Has clear skies. It's 43 out there. That sounds rather balmy considering we're dealing with 16 right now.
Very true. Very true. Okay. Hey, we've got Dr. Kevin Most.
Okay. Hey,
right now.
Let's see if Dr. Most can do a song.
Why not? Let's let him stay in his own lane. How about that?
You mean life in the fast lane?
Life in the fast lane. So I'm watching Real Time with Bill Maher on HBO the other night, and his lead topic of discussion was the pandemic. It was his first show back from a couple of months off. So much has happened in the last couple of months with Omicron and record numbers of people contracting the virus, hospital filled with people with COVID-19. Mostly people who are not vaccinated being hospitalized. But Bill Maher and one of his guests, a podcaster by the name of Barry Weiss, said, the podcaster, "I'm done with COVID. We have not gotten back to normal, and it's ridiculous at this point." Bill Maher said that he had been in Florida a couple of times where restrictions are not as enforced. He said there's a different vibe there than other states, and said that there are very few people compared to other states, very few, many more people who are getting COVID than any place else. And the idea being, they did virtually nothing in Florida and wound up with the same or better result than other states. Medically, can you address that?
Well, I'm not sure his stats are actually right. I mean, if you look at deaths in Florida versus deaths here in Illinois, quite a difference. And, this week we will hit 30,000 deaths from COVID. So certainly if we said, and we talked about this way a long time ago, saying, hey, let's not do anything. Let's just let this take its natural course. Which some states kind of have done that, and probably to the detriment of the individuals who live in that state. I look at the number of long COVID cases that are going on. People don't understand that, you can survive this, and many people do without any repercussions. But many other people have brain fog, have lost taste or smell, are, lethargic, have no energy. So we have to understand that there's more than just the simple numbers. And, the people that are still unvaccinated, you're still rolling the dice that you're going to end up with one of these conditions.
Yeah, it's, they are investigating sources that have said that the singer named Meatloaf was not vaccinated, who died this week, suddenly died this week. He had publicly spoken out against vaccination mandates. We don't know if he was vaccinated or not, but many sources are saying that he died from COVID-19 as a result of that. There are plenty of people who don't die from it, but aren't their hearts affected by it? Aren't there other lasting, very serious effects other than not that losing your taste and smell isn't important, but much more serious things that can happen. If you have COVID and recover from COVID, you still could wind up with a damaged heart or other factors that will affect your long-term health. Am I right about that?
100%. I mean, we look at the number of people who have had heart issues. We look at the number of people who have had lung issues. I mean, we are fortunate to be here in Chicago. We have, at Northwestern, we've done more double lung transplants than we ever would have imagined because of the impact of COVID had on the lungs of many people who were fairly young and healthy. So certainly the choice to vaccinate is an individual choice, but I think we're almost all kind of tired of trying to make the case anymore. And it's like, all right, it's your personal decision now, but you have to understand that there's repercussions of decisions. And
if it were only your personal decision, it was something that only affected you, I would say, great, you know, do whatever you want to do, except it only affects you. It affects everybody who is around you. You know, your parents, your grandparents, your kids, your coworkers, the people who shop at the same grocery store as you, et cetera. Everybody's affected by that. It's not just a personal decision.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I could tell you the number one thing that people who have not been vaccinated and end up in the hospital and end up either on a ventilator or some high flow oxygen, almost universally, they say, I wish I would have got vaccinated.
Yeah.
And like you said, you know, it's the people around you as well. Everyone's like, let's get rid of this mask mandate. Well, let's get more people vaccinated so our numbers continue to go down, which they are right now, but they're still very high. If we want to get back to a new norm, we just have to take some ownership of not only our own health, but the public health around us.
Yeah, Bill Maher was, annoyed that we still have to have restrictions. And he didn't say it, but it felt like to me that he's angry that he's not able to go out and do comedy shows because people don't want to go to theaters. And there are mandates in theaters where you have to wear your masks and prove that you're vaccinated. It sounds like he's mad that he's losing money because a result of this. He also said that the vaccination does not stop you from getting it. It doesn't stop you from transmitting it. It just stops you from dying when you do get it. That's a huge difference. And he says it counteracts that we need the vaccination to protect other people. Do you? I assume you disagree with that.
So I guess I'd have to ask him, how many people have to die before we change our mind on that? It's so frustrating, and it is, you know, people like that. I say, you know what? Come spend a day with me at the hospital. Come spend a day, and let's walk through the ICU, and let's look at the patients and the impact on their health and what's going on. If it's coming down to you making money and not making money, you know, let's make sure that we can all safely go back to doing what we want to do without ending up with more people in the hospital, more people dying. Certainly, the vaccine is not 100%. No vaccine is going to give you 100% protection against this. So we know that we're going to have breakthrough cases, but those breakthrough cases are mild to moderate. They're not ending up in the hospital. They're not ending up on ventilators. If we didn't have the vaccine, this world would be in, I can't even imagine where we would be if we didn't have the vaccine.
The difference, yeah. And how many people, I mean, think back at the beginning of the pandemic and how people were dying in droves and droves and droves. How many of those people would still be alive if that were your mother, your father, your brother, sister, friend? If those were the people who were spared because if had the vaccination been available back then, I mean, that's
100%.
That's the thing about it. Now, which leads me to the other thing I wanted to talk about before we get to phone calls, 312-981-7200, by the way. And I know it sounds like I'm just, you know, nagging and browbeating about this whole thing, but I've just seen, I've seen too many people die. I've seen too many people get sick. I haven't walked through the hospitals with Kevin, but I've known too many people who have been profoundly affected for the rest of their lives because of this. And that's why I'm so passionate about this. If I were to walk through those halls of the hospital with you, I'm reading about how people are going to emergency rooms with non-COVID issues and having to wait 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, because the hospitals are being pushed to the limits right now.
They really are. I mean, if you look at what's going on with all hospitals, you're seeing on the news every night about how full we are. We have meetings constantly through the day on throughput, on how we're going to make sure we get all these patients cared for. Emergency rooms, unfortunately, as the hospital gets filled, the emergency rooms are actually holding areas. So it's not for us. It's not unusual for us to. One of the first things we say is, how many holds do we have in the emergency room? That means how many patients are in the emergency room waiting for a bed in the hospital. When that happens, the efficiency of the emergency room plummets, right? Our hospital has, you know, 70 ER beds. Well, if 20 of them are holds, now we're only working with 50 when we're built to work with 70. And we're seeing a lot of patients coming to the emergency room for non-life-threatening because their doctor's offices aren't seeing patients that have what we call ILI, influenza-like illness, because they want to kind of keep it out of their office. So we're really kind of stressing the system still on an emergency room point of view.
I was at Awake yesterday and was shocked at the number of people inside. It was being held in a church. Shocked at the number of people not being masked. If 10% of the people inside that church for the service had a mask on, I would be shocked. That would probably be called a super spreader event. Am I right?
Absolutely. You know, if you look, like we look, we're talking about the positivity rate in the general public, and people have to understand, with Omicron, you're able to pass this. You're transmitting the illness 2 days before you have symptoms. So you say, hey, I feel great. I don't have anything. I can take my mask off and talk to somebody. Chances are that there's a good chance that you do have it. And if you don't have it, good chance that you're going to get it if you're talking closely with someone without a mask on, and they are as well. So it is something that we really need to be careful about whether it's weddings, funerals, you know, those times when your emotions kind of take over and your common sense may take the mask off to make sure that you can speak. But you really don't want to end up leaving and either spreading it to someone else or taking it with you to wherever you're headed next.
Let us take a break and then get to your phone calls for Dr. Kevin Most. 312-981-7200. On the phone lines to answer your questions, 312-981-7200. Joelle, you're on the air with Dr. Kevin Most.
Hi, good morning.
Hello.
So I have a question this morning about rapid antigen tests. The CDC updated their guidance, which of course IDPH accepted, that if one becomes symptomatic for COVID and they've already been infected with COVID in the last 90 days, they need to retest if they're symptomatic. So my question is, how long will that original COVID infection show positive on a rapid antigen test? And if we're retesting people 2-3 weeks out because they're symptomatic again, what are the chances of us getting false positives?
Joelle, you hit the nail right on the head with this one. And it's one of our biggest concerns about how long someone can test positive when, in fact, they're not infectious, but they're still testing positive. And what are we going to do with that data? So you're absolutely right. We've had people who have tested positive for weeks, even though that they've been totally asymptomatic. Now you throw the curveball in that they have symptoms, but they've already had COVID once in the past. Could they have Omicron now, and could they be actively infected? So it certainly is one of our biggest concerns and adds to all the confusion of when should we test, when shouldn't we test. We're still looking at this days of how long is someone still infectious after they've been exposed and after they have symptoms? Is it 5 days? Is it 10 days? And certainly the confusion just continues to be added and added on top of this. So really, when we look at someone who is testing positive and we go, okay, 5 days later, you can, you know, we're not concerned that you're going to be as infectious. And yet we know that even after 5 days, about 10-15% are still infectious, but we're allowing them to go back into the work site. But now we're saying, please wear a mask wherever you work for the next 10 days. So you're absolutely spot on your question is, how do we interpret a lot of this information where the antigen test can still be positive when yet we're not sick, we're not symptomatic, and we're not spreading the illness because of the sensitivity of the test being able to pick up just fragments of the virus.
Joelle, thank you for your call. I'm sorry. Thank you for your call. This is Cheryl. You're on WGN.
Yes, good morning. So trying to find a Binex test is like trying to find toilet paper last year. So what I'm wondering is all these other tests that you're seeing now at Walgreens and CVS, are those just as good as the Binex?
Cheryl, I'm kind of, I'm a big Binax person. I think Abbott did a lot of work on this test and really perfected it and has continued to work on perfecting it. My concern is a lot of these other companies, I don't want to say they're pop-up companies, but they did. They popped up. They took the same technology that Abbott has used and have rolled these tests out. Quick approval by the FDA. I'm not sure how accurate they are. I assume that they are accurate as much as they can be. But that's why they give you two tests as well. They want to make sure that you get the same result twice. And really, the biggest one is we're concerned about, obviously, is the false negative, which comes with collection as well as running the test. If you can get a Binax, that's just my personal. I don't get paid by Abbott. I am not on any advisory committees for Abbott. I just know the quality of the product that they make, and that's why I'm a big advocate for Binax.
Thanks for your call, Cheryl. Here's a text from 847. My 30-year-old son is vaccinated. He doesn't want to get a booster because he thinks there's a greater risk of a heart issue if he does. He also thinks he can transmit COVID whether or not he has the booster.
Okay, well, she's right on parts of that. Individuals who get the booster, we still know that you can have breakthrough cases. And again, you could spread the virus. You have a much lower chance of doing that if you are boosted because the chance of you getting an infection decreases. And not only that, the time that you would be infectious decreases based on your immune system. As far as the heart issue, you know, there were a couple of cases of myositis, in other words, inflammation of the heart. But in all honesty, the numbers are so low and so infrequent that would not be a reason that I would not get the booster. So I would still recommend that he gets the booster, especially if he's going to be around. You know, if he's 30, good chance his parents are, you know, in their 60s. Certainly want to protect them from any interactions that you might have. And he's in that soft, sweet spot for social events. You know, those are the individuals who we are seeing now getting sick.
Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital. Kevin, I hope you have a great day today. Thank you so much.
You got it, Dean. Take care. We'll talk soon.
The dorkiest fun ever, doing what DJs call talking up the post.
I played this song in college.
Yeah.
Big song.
Yep. I'm sure you've talked it up.
Talked it right up.
Many times, as they say, where you talk over the instrumental beginning of the song before they start singing. We've been having some fun with that this morning because I haven't been a DJ like that in nearly 30 years. How long for you, Shawnee, has it been?
A DJ like that?
Yeah.
I'm going to say 40.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're old. What about you, Andy? How many years?
Your DJs? Probably in the 25 to 26 years.
That's a long time.
You're young.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
I literally had not done it in all those years until I did it on the TV morning show the other day and nailed it each time. It's like riding a bike. It's a skill that doesn't go away. So we're seeing if we still have our skills this morning. I just showed you with Ava right there.
Nailed it.
I could still dance.
Oh, yeah.
Shawnee, you ready?
Okay.
ready for one?
I gave, we did Midnight Confessions already. That's I gave right. Ryan another song.
All right, we've got, this is Blood, Sweat, and Tears. You yes. made me so very happy.
May I say, from one of the great albums ever.
So we'll say that during the intro of the song.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Killed 3-4 seconds right there. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Hit it.
Dead Air.
Oh, I turned. Wait a minute. I turned
there we go.
Oh,
I didn't have the switch turned on for that. Okay. Okay, right, man.
Here we go.
Hey, are you ready? Hit it.
Cold and snow today. I'll tell you, it's rough out there. A winter weather advisory for Cook and Will counties. A winter storm warning for Northwest Indiana. Here's BS&T. I
lost. Oh, that was smooth, Shawnee.
Hey, BS&T.
That was smooth, Shawnee. You went with the BS&T.
Yeah. Not a BLT, BS&T.
I enjoy on wheat bread with a little mayo. Always been a favorite sandwich of mine. Very, very nice. Very nice. See, it's like riding a bike, isn't it?
Yeah. It is.
It's like riding a bike, exactly.
Especially if you've heard the songs for years. You know how they go. You know the tempo. You know, right. You just kind of get a feel for how long the instrumental introduction is.
Right, and you sort of ride it. It's like riding a wave.
Oh yeah,
it's like surfing.
Yeah,
you kind of hey, here's BS&T. All right, Andy.
All right,
you've
I'm ready.
Got Dexy's Midnight Runner.
Oh yeah,
come on,
come on, Eileen.
Come on, Eileen.
Never heard of
one
it.
Of the best songs ever of my youth.
What?
Number one hit in 1983.
Yeah, man. Hey, save the chit chat for the song, my man.
All right,
here we go.
All right, ready?
Yep. Waking up to a snowy Sunday here in Chicago. It's up only 24 right now. If you're looking for something to do, why not get out there and shovel? You can clear a path so nobody falls out there. I mean, it's the right thing to do. Just don't be that neighbor that gets out there and only clears their own walkway like my stupid neighbor, Eileen. I just want to scream at the top of my lungs at her. Come on, Eileen. Andy.
Good work.
Andy, storytelling at the same time.
Good work.
Not just throwing a weather forecast in there. He was leading up the narrative. That was fantastic.
Thank
great,
you.
Great job. Love that. Great job.
All right. So I found a song. This would be the challenge of challenges for any DJ. If we were to talk up this song. As they say, let me see here if I can do this and then do this. Here we go. Hey, Shawnee, you know this song? You know what this song is?
Yes, I do. I'll tell you. If any song tells a story, it is this one. Talk about the Temptations and talking about telling stories. These guys knew exactly what to do.
That's right. Hey, I hope you got a lot to say because the intro on this song is about 3 minutes long, by the way.
Yes.
I think they just left, you know, just talked into it till about 10, 15 seconds and just let it play.
Should we just keep talking?
Yeah, just keep talking until they start singing.
So, Andy, how's
we'll
the family?
We'll be done by 10 after
things
11.
Things are really good today. Packers lost. Tears of the Packer fans out there on the river.
Yeah. Andy, how are your mom and dad?
They're doing very well. They're not dealing with any snow today, Dee. Thanks for asking.
Are they still in Florida?
They're in Florida enjoying life without the snow and without the cold and no snowdrifts.
Mm, okay. Hey, Shawnee, any special tips you want to give us about driving in this inclement weather?
Well, use caution while you're out there, especially on bridge decks and ramps, as they can become quite slippery. We've had a lot of accidents out there this morning. As a matter of fact, some reduced visibility in parts of Northwest Indiana and right at the Illinois-Indiana line. So yeah. Be careful out
there. We still got about a minute and a half.
I think we do.
Hope you get into barometric pressure and cumulative mist clouds. Minute.
Yeah, make sure you leave yourself a little extra time out the door today.
Relative humidity is 84%. The dew point is 15.
Hey, forecast for Mother's Day 2023.
I'm going to be at the Paramount Theater in Aurora on Sunday, February 6th.
We have a wind chill index of 5 above.
You could win a pair of tickets to join me not only for the show but also a pre-show reception. Go to WGNradio.com/contest.
You would have to pick this song
for your opportunity. We still have like 90 seconds or something here.
Seems like the bear season's about to kick off again here.
WGNradio.com.
Spring training starts tomorrow. Yes.
Super Bowl pregame is going to be starting in just a few minutes. is. It's still going. I'm
What's your favorite M&M?
All right, that's enough of that. Well, that was fun.
Oh, man.
That was fun. Fun thing to do on a snowy morning.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Let's find out how bad it was last night. What's going to happen tomorrow? Senior weather producer Bill Snyder from WGN-TV joins us next. Look what's outside. Look at all the snow. Hopefully diminishing where you are. I believe that's what they're forecasting for today, but look out. Looks like we're headed for some more snow tomorrow morning. Northwest Indiana, you are still under a winter storm warning right now. I wanted to bring in Bill Snyder, who's the senior weather producer over at WGN-TV. Tom Skilling's producer. You hear Tom frequently talk about Bill Snyder, providing all the stats and information. And Bill, good morning. Happy snowy Sunday to you, my friend.
How are you, Dean? Happy snowy Sunday. It's good to talk to you, as always.
Always good to talk to you. So how bad did we officially get it last night?
Well, you know what, Dean? Interestingly, so prior to coming into this snow, we had only had 6.6 inches of snow for the season prior to last night. And that was the sixth least snowy start to a season in the past 80 years. So it's kind of no surprise that we were due for some snow, and we certainly got it. O'Hare finished at right now 3.5 inches, Midway 3.6 inches, but as much as 4.8 inches is down on the south side of the city near McCormick Place. 4 inches at Valparaiso, 3.8 St. Charles, 3 inches Batavia, 2.8 inches in Romeoville, 3 inches in Lombard. So generally, most of the area got between 2 and 4 inches. However, as you were just talking about, there is still some lake effect snow that's continuing on the southeast corner of Cook County and especially Northwest Indiana. I was looking at some cam footage over there, and boy, 8094 looks like a real mess over there, right over the border in Northwest Indiana. So yeah, anybody that it's planning on heading in that direction, I would certainly consider postponing that until later this afternoon.
Yeah, is it going to stay that way in Northwest Indiana until about what time?
I think it'll slowly diminish, Dean. Actually, there's a winter weather advisory that still covers Cook County, and that would mainly be the southeast portion of the county, until noon. And our Northwest Indiana counties have a winter weather advisory in effect until 3 p.m., and that also includes portions of eastern Kankakee County. So this is for, you know, the system that moved through was an Alberta Clipper. These systems originate up in the province of Alberta, Canada, and then they tend to track southeast, where that's why they warranted their name. But the system that produced our snow has moved off to the east now. Now we're just getting some lake effect with northerly winds that are, you know, moving down the length of Lake Michigan. So that's what's causing the snow right now in portions of Cook County and Northwest Indiana.
But a short break, just to clean up a little bit today before it starts again for tomorrow morning.
Exactly. I think we'll, it's more than likely that most areas will even see some sunshine this afternoon as the day proceeds. You know, the only area with that, the only one exception being, you know, Northwest Indiana. But yeah, you're right. The break will be short-lived, and we've got another round of snow, another one of these fast-moving clipper type systems that's going to move through. This one will track a little bit further to the north, so the heaviest snow should fall in Wisconsin. And but we're still expecting another, 1 to 2, 1 to 3 inches, and then it's really going to get cold. That system will drag in what will be the coldest air of the season here, and that's we're looking for a high of about 10 degrees with sunshine on Tuesday, and Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, some of the outlying areas, Dean, could drop down as cold as 15, 16, 17 below zero.
Oh, wow.
It's really going to get cold.
Temperature, not wind chill.
Without the wind chill, right. Now, I do think the winds will be, you know, on the light side, but that's all academic. You know, when you get temperatures that cold, any wind at all, it will make it feel pretty miserable out there. And it's no coincidence, because this snow cover is highly reflective. It has a high albedo. And when you place a good snowpack on the ground, that's the track for which the Arctic Express moves. And, you know, for example, a couple of days ago, we were down at, I think Friday morning, it was 6 above for our low temperature. If you go to areas northwest of here, even in parts of Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, they had temperatures as cold as 25 to 30 below zero. And those areas have a thick snowpack. Now we've got the snow on the ground, so we won't have any problem dropping, you know, substantially here the next couple of nights.
So let's break down the you know, time frame for tomorrow morning. What time should this second wave of snow come in, and what time do you think it might end? I'm fearing that it's going to be a disastrous morning rush hour.
You know, it is very ill-timed. Yeah, it looks like the snow will begin somewhere around 3-4 o'clock in the morning. So yeah, I do expect it to be snowing through the heart of the morning rush hour. And yeah, that's always problematic when we get snows during that period, and that doesn't give a chance the snow removal crews to get out and do their job efficiently. But then I would expect that to taper off by later in the morning. There could be some additional light snow or flurries at times, even into tomorrow afternoon. But I think that the bulk of the, you know, 1 to 2 or, you know, maybe 3-inch totals that will fall will be down by then.
Okay, so temperatures then are going to drop like a rock. Are we going to have any issues?
Yeah, you know, actually, we'll have a brief surge tomorrow, Dino. With this system, as I mentioned, how it was tracking further north, it'll drag in a little bit of warmer air in here. So temperatures tomorrow won't be far from freezing. However, that will be short-lived because then it will crash tomorrow night and be down near zero tomorrow night. And as I mentioned, only rise to about 10 above or so on Tuesday and then drop well below zero Tuesday night. So, yeah, the theme here is get it cleaned up.
Before it freezes,
as quickly as possible.
Yeah,
before it
freezes. Well, with the new, all this new snow on the ground, is blowing and drifting going to be an issue at all? What are the winds going to be like?
The winds will be steady, but I don't think, you know, and this snow is fluffy. It's very light and fluffy, and you know, we're not talking about any, you know, 30, 40, 50 mile an hour wind gusts that would cause, you know, any substantial blowing and drifting. You could get a little bit of blowing in open areas, but I don't think this is a situation where we need to be too concerned about, and that would mostly be felt out in rural locations that you know, well away from the city.
As is always the case when we have crummy weather like this, Tom Skilling is on vacation. I don't.
Isn't that something, Dean? I've been seeing pictures.
Can I just point out where is he on vacation right now?
Well, how ironic. Mr. Skilling is on the Big Island of Hawaii right now.
Oh, well, what do you know? And the Big Island of Hawaii.
And I just saw something on his Facebook page where he was dancing in his Hawaiian shirt and shorts. And rubbing it in, nonetheless.
I saw that, too.
Yeah.
He always
knows when to leave.
He does. Thank goodness into the capable hands of you and the rest of the WGN weather team.
Yeah. We do our best to kind of hold the fort down while he's gone.
While
I'm sure there will. Right. I'm sure there will be plenty of action weather-wise for when he returns, because it just—I don't know if you recall, but it seems, Dean, that lately our active weather—it seems that this period that we're in right now, the late January, early February period—is one to flag. It's our biggest storms have typically occurred during this time frame, and you know, so we'll certainly keep an eye on it. We're coming up on a huge anniversary this week. Nobody will ever forget
that
if they were alive. 1967, 55 years ago. Isn't that something?
Yeah, the big snow. Remember it
23 inches, yeah.
Well, Bill, I appreciate the update. I hope Tom Skilling gets a head freeze from a Mai Tai.
I do, too. I know, right? That's the least that could happen to him, right?
That's right. Bill Snyder, senior weather producer for WGN-TV. Thanks, Bill. Have a great Sunday.
Hey, you too, Dean. Always great to talk to you.
Time for the weekend theater segment. Not an opening, but an extension. I've been telling you for a while now about the comedy the play that goes wrong that's over at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower. The show has just been extended. So, you know, if you haven't had a chance to go over and see it yet, they will be extending the show. It's now scheduled to run through April the 3rd at the Water Tower Place, the Broadway Playhouse there, which is 175 East Chestnut in Chicago. One of the ensemble, and really, that's the case with this show. There's not really a star of the show. It is ensemble in the truest words, is Matt Mueller, who is joining us on the phone line right now. And Matt, thank you for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So it's got to be kind of fun for you not only to be in the show, but in your hometown, I guess. You're originally yes. from Evanston, right?
I am. I am indeed. Yeah, no, it's terrific to get to be here and do something in the city. It's a joy to be downtown again. So,
yeah, I know you've done work at the Shakespeare Theater and the Marriott Lincolnshire and Drury Lane and North Light and, you know, lots of the area theaters. What does it mean to you to be downtown at the Broadway Playhouse? I mean, it's got to be kind of cool for somebody who grew up in this area to be, you know, to have experience in the Chicago theater scene, but to be right down in the theater district downtown, I would think that's kind of a big deal.
It is. It is. It's very cool, and it's neat to, you know, because it's like growing up here and sort of coming downtown to see shows when I was a kid, and also we're right in that area too, where I have very vivid memories of coming down with my parents, who are also actors, to going with them to voiceover auditions because their old agency is sort of like right around the corner.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's just. It's really neat. It brings back a lot of memories, and it's fun to be down in that area and doing a show that in a space that's sort of been a lot of different iterations
yeah.
of a Chicago theater. I think, you know, it was a Drury Lane at one point.
Right.
And it's also a terrific, terrific space for this show.
Yeah.
It's kind of right in the pocket with the size of the audience that this show thrives on. So yeah, it's really cool. We've got a good group of people, and it's a satisfying show to be doing, especially right now.
Yeah,
I feel like
you got to be excited about the extension of the show as well at times.
Yeah, terrific.
When you know, theaters are closing and shows are shutting down, and you know,
yeah,
all the
yeah.
effects of COVID this has got to be the first extension of a show that I've announced in like 2 years, I think.
Sure. I mean, let's take that as some good news. You know what I mean? That's fingers crossed. That's hopefully how things will, you know, kind of turn in that direction. It'd be terrific, but we're very fortunate that, that's where we are and that we're going to get to, you know, that we're going to get to keep having a job and doing this show for people, which
right.
is great.
You know, and in these times where, you know, it's difficult and it's challenging and, you know, people have either quit their jobs or lost their jobs for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
These are, you know,
yeah,
certainly
yeah.
two of the most challenging years that most everybody has been through. Here is this oasis from it all. You go into the Broadway Playhouse for complete silliness for a couple of hours. I mean, it's really somewhat the perfect antidote to the world as we know it right now.
I just had this thought before getting on the phone with you. I remember as a kid. My grandma was visiting, and we were sitting in the living room watching. It was one of the Pink Panther movies, and just uproarious laughter. And my mom came into the kitchen and was like, "What on earth are the two of you watching that has you both laughing so hard?" And I feel like it's that kind of thing. It's that kind of thing because it's that old thing, you know, from ages, you know, 8 to 88. But it's really true with this show. It's just plain funny.
Yeah.
and anybody can enjoy it. And it's so great. It's so great to have young people or kids when we have them in the house, because it's a great family show.
Oh, I would think for little kids, it's got to be, just to watch grown-ups being so buffoonish has to be so fun. And all kind of set up around the premise of a 1920s murder mystery, right?
Right, exactly. Which I love. I mean, I had a chance to do Mousetrap once, which I loved. And so I'm the style that it's sending up is really fun as well. So to have all those kind of those multiple layers in it is a treat. And it's one of the things that I love too, is there's sort of different levels of jokes in it. Some of it's just plain dumb, which I'm personally a huge fan of. But you know, it's what it like, if we don't get you with this thing, it's like, just wait a second, cause we'll get you with something else. And the brilliance of the show too, is its simplicity, I think. And then the way that it builds on the sort of toolbox of jokes that it has. And I think that's really cool. And it is a fun thing to get to do, to kind of work within that structure. Do your best to play the simplicity and play the math of it, and kind of enjoy the fruits of it with the audience.
Yeah. I mean, that's the best kind of comedy that there is, you know, if it's,
yeah, not, yes, right.
You know, not too brainiac-y. It's, often just good, clean, old fashioned, fun. Now, the Broadway Playhouse is one of the Broadway in Chicago theaters. So they do have a protocol for COVID. You do have to be vaccinated. You do have to wear a mask. They are not serving food or beverage anymore. So know that going into it. But if you're just looking for some fun, this is the show really for you. And now extended 9 more weeks through April the 3rd. Broadway Playhouse is 175 East Chestnut in Chicago. And you get ticket info. You can learn more about the show by going to BroadwayInChicago.com. Have you been up to Evanston? Have you gone to Evanston since you've been back?
It's a wonderful thing about being in the area is as safely as possible getting to see some family when I can. It's great.
Yeah,
so
great. Well, I'm glad we could talk today. I appreciate it. Matt Mueller with the play that goes wrong at the Broadway Playhouse in Chicago. Matt, have some great shows today, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Yeah, come have some fun with us.
WGN. Andy, I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to do this. I went to the Apple store.
Oh, yeah.
And where everybody in the store, I mean, like if you're 25 or above, that, I don't think they'll hire you.
They call you sir.
Right. But you know, not only are you're faced with the technology challenge. You know, I was there because I was having a problem with my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
The display screen went off, and it wasn't working. It had to be replaced. So, you know, I had to sit around there and wait, and I may as well have been 90 years old sitting in there with every 20-year-old who's, you know, they're smart. Genius bar is, it's a perfect term.
Yeah.
Because they're nothing but geniuses in there. But it's like, I am 100 years old sitting here with all these people in the Apple store.
Yeah, but they build in so many of these little back ways into things, and then they obviously tell these guys what's going on, and there's something you and I can't figure out because we're just the consumer and the user. They know how to get around it.
Yeah, I mean, they know the ins and outs and how to fix every, alternative fixes to things and what to do. But just even walking in the store,
Yeah.
You know, they have like an area where you have to wait. You know, you go in. I had an appointment. You got to make an appointment before you go in. So, you know, I was there a few minutes before my appointment. And they have an area where you go sit down that are just like apple crates on the floor. Oh. You just you're sitting in this area like you're in kindergarten.
At least it's not beanbags.
It may as well have been. May as well have been. So me and all the other old people that were there.
You should have started a story time group.
I should have brought a little carpet with me so I can lay it down.
Right.
Laid it down and took a nap. I almost did take a nap anyway. But they were very, very helpful and very nice. And not too condescending.
Yeah, they're pretty good about that. They try not to make you feel like a total idiot.
Because there's a lot of potential of like, okay, Grandpa, I don't even know how you know how to operate this phone, much less try to get it fixed. Fortunately, everything is so reasonably priced there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Says who?
If it makes you feel any better, I just bought a new MacBook. So we went and...
Now, you are a 20-year-old.
Yeah, and I felt old. Like,
really?
Yeah. Well, it didn't help. Like, they talked to us very quietly, too. And it's very loud in there, so we're leaning in like, what?
Right, and they have masks on.
Yeah, that's even the worst part.
I was doing a lot of that, because the kid who was talking to me, the kid, that youngster who was talking to old Uncle Dean, had the mask on, and I couldn't hear him, so I kept going, what'd you say?
That's what we were doing.
Hey!
I think they do that to try to get you to, you know,
engage.
Yeah, yes. Or to feel like, you know, we were really calm about this, you know.
We're very chill.
Yeah.
Sir, while you're waiting, would you like a tattoo or piercing?
Would you like warm cookies and milk?
I'm pretty sure I was the only person in the store without a tattoo also.
Could very well be.
Yeah. Shwani, have you ever gone to the Apple store?
Sure. I used to get apples. I read Delicious and also the Honeycrisp are my favorite apples. Why do I
even Granny ask? Smith's.
Why? Granny Smith's.
Yeah. Do I even ask these stories?
I had a great place right up the street from where and I would ride my bike up there. It was wonderful. All kinds of apples. Anything you wanted. Peaches in the summer.
Yeah. You get an apple or a mouse.
Well, that was in the basement.
All right. Well, you know what? Here's the transition.
No, yes. To answer your question,
I don't want to know. Now
yes,
I don't care.
I've been in an Apple store.
Now I don't care if you've been there or not. yeah, I mean, it's... thank goodness. I mean, you know, they fixed my phone. You know, all is good. But it's quite the sociological experience going into that store. And I don't think it's just old people.
No.
I think everybody feels that way, as is evidenced by producer Ryan.
Which one did you go into?
Old Orchard.
Old Orchard. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Left with an iPhone 13 and a piercing.
I thought about leaving with some other stuff. That's the thing is, while you're sitting around there, it's like, I could use that. I want one of those. I like that. I like this. So it was a very expensive afternoon for Uncle Dean. And I got a tattoo out of the deal also.
An apple tattoo.
An apple, apple tattoo. It's a tattoo of the three of us. It's the Sunday morning tattoo that we're all going to be getting eventually, by the way. I'm going to require that on the show that everybody, that we have a Sunday morning tattoo.
The tattoo mandate.
Yeah, tattoo mandate. Exactly right. All right, so with this chilly weather that we've got going on, this is the day to cook up some nice comfort food. I've been making some things the last few weeks. I made some soups recently. This past week on TV, I made a chicken fried rice, but I didn't use regular rice. I used that cauliflower rice. You can't tell the difference.
I can.
Not the way that I made it. Okay. You would not be able to tell the difference. Why? Because it's too mushy?
It's a little too mushy, yeah. And my fiance, she can't pull them by me on that. I mean, I can tell.
She needed to put more soy sauce and sesame oil.
Okay.
And you couldn't tell the difference.
I don't want to encourage her.
But you don't want to encourage healthy eating.
Exactly.
He doesn't want to encourage low carb eating in his house. The here's the deal, though, with either fresh cauliflower that you kind of grate down to rice or the frozen, you have to put it in really hot oil, really, really, really hot oil. So when it goes in the oil, it gets a little crispy right away. And that's where it gets its rice consistency. If you don't do that, you're just really sort of steaming it, and then it does get mushy. But you got to super hot oil sort of fry it first, and then put all the other ingredients. But then sesame oil takes any of the cauliflower taste away, and the low-sodium soy sauce.
Okay.
And I had carrots. Well, this is going to be a checklist of stuff that you don't want. I had carrots, chopped green beans, chicken. I took chicken breast and chopped that up. I had a red pepper that I sauteed and put that in there. It was delicious. Slivered almonds, green onions. I'm not selling Andy at all.
Well, no.
It's getting worse and worse.
You had me till the almonds. Everything else was okay until you got to the almonds. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, everything else was pretty good.
You don't like nuts?
I just don't like almonds.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to put that in.
Okay.
You can leave that out. You know, maybe, I don't know, walnuts? I guess you could put walnuts in. Or you don't have to. That's the thing about fried rice. You don't have to put anything in.
True.
But here's my point. On a day like this, a big pan of this fried rice, whether you use regular rice or the cauliflower fried rice on a day like this, delicious. Really hits the spot. Recipe is on my cooking site over at WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. You can get the recipe for that, for the soups that we did a couple of weeks before that. This coming Wednesday, let's see if this sounds good to you. I'm going to be doing a Guinness beef stew.
Yes.
Doesn't that sound good?
Yes.
Yeah, like a traditional beef stew with the, you know, the beef chunks and the potatoes and vegetables and things like that, but flavored with a bottle of Guinness beer, that nice, rich, thick Guinness beer thing. Let me give you a recipe on that. And I also want to open up the phone lines for your comfort foods. What is it? Meatloaf? Pot roast? What do you cook on a day like this? A kind of a stick to your ribs comfort recipe. What's your favorite? 312-981-7200. So what's your favorite comfort food on a day like this? Chilly day?
Chili would be one of them.
Chili,
yeah.
Nice big bowl of chili.
Yep. Chili would be one of them, sure.
Are you a bean or no bean guy?
Oh, bean, with a bean. Yeah, bean.
Ground beef or
chili con carne.
Or chunks of beef.
I like ground beef.
You like the ground beef.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it both ways, but I got to say, since I've had it, chunks of beef is Texas style.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they do it in Texas. Mm-hmm. And I got to say that I also do enjoy that. But the way that I grew up in Chicago, ground beef with the beans and kind of, you know, traditional, slightly sweet. I don't like it too hot. But just, you know, a little bit of a chili.
Little spice to it?
A little bit of spice, mm-hmm. but I also like it a little sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. You mentioned chunks of beef. Chunks of beef and beef stew go down a day like today.
Well, I've got this recipe for Guinness beef stew.
Mm.
I'm going to share that in a minute. But some of the other texts coming in. Dean, I made a cauliflower potato soup this weekend. It was so good, but if you asked me to make it again, it probably wouldn't be the same. I used whatever was in the fridge. Best soup I've ever made. That's often the case, where you just start, you know, whatever's in
putting
the fridge.
Putting things in, and it turns out great.
I bet that's good, though. Oh, but a nice potato, any kind of potato soup.
Yeah, yeah.
Right now, like potato and leek soup. That would be delicious.
Mm-hmm.
847 area code said mushroom barley soup on a day like this. That's the perfect soup for today. 630, Sundays are for red beans and rice. I'd cook it in the crock pot so it cooks nice and slow all day long. That's a good idea. That's a really good idea. Here is Dean, if I may, a shout out for the Red Apple Restaurant Buffet in Niles. I believe that's a Polish restaurant, I think, right?
It is, yes.
On Milwaukee, just north of Devon, amazing food and Went there for the first time yesterday, spoke with the owner. She's working hard to keep the ship afloat. Open only Saturday and Sundays now due to conditions. You can eat in or take the buffet to go, and you pay per pound. I've eaten there. Red Apple. Good. That is a good restaurant. Good restaurant. Someone said I'm making minestrone soup right now. Someone said I'm making lasagna right now. Oh, that's a good
All one. That is good for days like this.
You know what I made a couple
Keep of... Keep some for later in the week when it gets real cold.
It's too. Even better later in the week, the lasagna. I made lasagna, but instead of using the sheets of lasagna pasta, I made the traditional lasagna, but I used cheese ravioli instead of the traditional lasagna sheets. Delicious. And rave reviews. I put the I cooked it on TV, posted the recipe, and nothing but rave reviews from people online with this who have been cooking it the last couple of weeks. WGNTV.com/DeanCooks if you want to get that. From the text line, chicken soup with matzo balls. That sounds good. Tuna fish casserole, no peas. Cheese on top, no potato chips. A lot of people hate peas. I like peas.
I like peas. How about that?
What?
I love peas.
You who hate everything?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
See, that's why I did green beans in my stir fry, because normally you put peas in stir fry.
I put peas in a salad.
That would be very good.
Sure.
It would be very tasty. But that's why I chopped up green beans. Because I know some people can't stand peas, but wow, Andy, we got to analyze your brain.
Yeah, I know. It's just
There's a lot of analyzing that needs to go on
inside
take
a while.
That brain. Homemade chicken pot pie made like a casserole. No crust on the bottom and Pillsbury biscuits on top. That's a good idea. Mm. That's a very good idea. Meatloaf and mashed potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
That's fine eating right there. All right, the Guinness beef stew. You take your beef chuck roast and cut it up, or most stores sell beef stew chunks are already pre-cut right now. Trim the excess fat off and saute that. Set that aside, and then in that same pot. That's where you're going to saute an onion, some garlic, some carrots, get all that to, where things are a little bit on the soft side. You put the beef chunks back in along with a bottle of Guinness beer and 4 cups of beef stock, the Yukon Gold potatoes. You can use red. But I like Yukon Gold potatoes, some tomato paste, a bay leaf, salt, pepper, some dried thyme, give it a little flavor, and let that go in the Dutch oven about an hour and a half on a medium to low heat until the beef is just falling apart, melts in your mouth and the potatoes are soft. But that Guinness beer is going to add so much to this recipe. Highly, highly, highly recommend that. 312-981-7200. I'm going to cook it on TV this week, this coming Wednesday morning at 9:35. If you want to see me do it, if you want to get the recipe, we'll post it shortly after that. Kathy, what is your 16 beans soup?
Oh, it's really good. It's right now the ham bones left over from the Christmas ham. It was like a honey-baked spiral ham, so the bone is like real nice and meaty. And it's simmering with some water right now, and then I will add it's a package of 16 beans. I didn't even know there were 16 beans.
I didn't know there were either.
Yeah. And it not only makes it look nice, too, because there's so many different kinds and shapes and sizes of beans. But then I, in a separate thing, I saute onions, red pepper, shredded carrots, zucchini, kind of whatever I have. But my standard thing are those things. And then I add those with that package of the beans.
Nice.
And let them simmer as long as you want.
Right.
And I added, this time I'm adding a half of a jalapeno minced real fine.
Oh, nice.
And I'm going to make some cornbread with some jalapenos in it.
Very nice.
To go with it.
You said chicken stock that you put in this, right?
I add one. I didn't say, but I do. I forgot. Glad you mentioned it. I do add a chicken stock container, which I have in my freezer at all times because I make it beef and chicken stock, and I'll add that.
That's what I do too. I'll make my own chicken broth and put it in the freezer. It's a thousand times more tasty than anything you're going to buy in the store.
I put some petite diced just canned tomatoes and with some herbs and chili powder.
Oh, that sounds good.
So it really, it's just so great for a day like today. And like you say, for the rest of the week, it'll be nice to have.
Absolutely. You can also freeze it too, by the way.
Yes, and I do.
Bring it back later on. Kathy, I love that. Stay warm today. I appreciate your call. Cheryl, how about you? What are you cooking today?
Hi, Dean. Well, I think I've been cooking for the last 2 years, and my friends say, are you not cooking? So kind of, it's been the last couple weekends, and I make things that I can incorporate later on in the next weekend or during the week. So I started with the turkey, breast dinner, with the mashed potato stuffing, but just for me and my husband. So then we had... I made soup from the carcass and saved some of the meat. Good. And then I made a turkey dumpling soup during the week, which was awesome. And I also mastered, I think, I don't know, you're really good at this, but I did a lamb breast last week that I did the Greek potatoes and green beans together.
Very nice.
Oh, man, those really turned out good for the first time, really good, with Greek spinach salad with the feta. And I've made shrimp and grits with some awesome heirloom grits and anything polenta, you know, at this time of year.
I love that you're repurposing. You'll start with one entree, and then what you have left over or bits and pieces of that then become something else. Cheryl, I appreciate your call. And I hope you all stay warm today. Cook something toasty and, that'll stick to the ribs, because we're going to have some cold weather coming in this week. We've got Northwestern basketball coming up next.